Dear friends of the planet, I thank the BBC for highlighting our global environmental crisis. Let's face facts. The state of our planet is broken. Humanity is waging war on nature. This is suicidal. Nature always strikes back and is doing so with gathering force and fury. Biodiversity is collapsing, deserts are spreading, oceans are choking with plastic waste. In 30 years, there will be more plastic in the ocean than fish. Coral reefs that support livelihoods for 500 million people are dying. Air and water pollution are killing 9 million people every year. The last decade was the hottest on record. Arctic sea ice in October was the lowest ever. And apocalyptic fires and floods, cyclones and hurricanes are the new normal. COVID-19 lockdowns may have temporarily reduced emissions, but carbon dioxide levels are at record levels and rising. Every tenth of a degree of warming makes a world of difference. Today, we are 1.2 degrees hotter with unprecedented climate extremes and volatility. Without concerted action, we may be headed for a catastrophic 3 to 5 degree temperature rise this century. The science is clear. For example, unless the world cuts fossil fuel production by 6% every year between now and 2030, things will get worse, much worse. And instead, we are on track to go up by 2% each year. We are going in the wrong direction. And so, dear friends, making peace with nature must be priority one for the 21st century. The recovery from the pandemic offers the chance. We see rays of hope in the form of a COVID vaccine, but there is no vaccine for the planet. Only determined action by us can prevent disaster. Nature needs a bailout. This is an epic policy test, but ultimately, this is a moral one. The rescue packages of G20 countries currently devote 50% more to sectors linked to fossil fuel production and consumption than low-carbon energy. The trillions of dollars for COVID recovery is money that we are borrowing from future generations. We cannot use those resources to lock in policies that burden them with a mountain of debt on a broken planet. COVID recovery and fixing our planet can be and must be two sides of the same coin. That requires three climate actions. First, we need to achieve carbon neutrality, net zero emissions of greenhouse gases by 2050. The UK and the European Union have committed to do so. Japan, the Republic of Korea, and more than 110 countries have done the same. So too has the incoming United States administration. China has pledged to get there before 2060. We must turn this momentum into a movement. The central objective of the United Nations for 2021 is to build a truly global coalition for carbon neutrality. Every country, city, financial institution, and company should adopt plans for transitions to net zero emissions by 2050 and take decisive action now to put themselves on the right path, which means cutting global emissions by 45% by 2030 compared with 2010 levels. The revised and strengthened nationally determined contributions must reflect this. And every individual must use their power as consumers, as producers, as investors to reduce their carbon footprint. Technology is on our side. It costs more to simply run most of today's coal plants than it does to build new renewable plants from scratch. The coal business is going up in smoke. The International Labour Organization found that despite inevitable job losses, the clean energy transition will create 18 million net new jobs by 2030. That transition must be a just one, recognizing that there are human costs in the energy shift. Second, global finance must be aligned with the Paris Agreement and the Sustainable Development Goals. The growing Net Zero Coalition is sending a clear signal to investors, markets, and finance ministers. It is time to put a price on carbon, to phase out fossil fuel finance and end fossil fuel subsidies, to stop building new coal power plants, to shift the tax burden from income to carbon and from taxpayers to polluters, to make climate-related financial risk disclosures mandatory, and to integrate the goal of carbon neutrality into all economic and fiscal policies and decisions. Banks must align their lending to the global net zero objective, and asset owners and managers must decarbonize their portfolios. Third, we must help those already facing dire impacts of climate change. That's not happening enough today. Adaptation represents only 20% of climate finance. This hinders essential work to protect countries from disaster. And it also isn't smart. Every dollar invested in adaptation measures could yield almost $4 in benefits. This is especially urgent for small island developing states, which are sinking before our eyes. Adaptation must not be the forgotten component of climate action. At the climate conference in Glasgow next November, COP26, countries have an opportunity to show how they will build forward in a better way. But let us remember, everything is interlinked, and we must work across many fronts to address our planetary emergencies. Next year, countries meeting in China have a chance to halt the extinction crisis through a new post-2020 biodiversity framework. We need to establish more and bigger conservation areas to reduce overexploitation and destruction of the natural world and to phase out subsidies that destroy soils, waterways, and oceans. And in 2021, at the Ocean Conference in Portugal, the world can act to stop overfishing, drastically reduce pollution, including plastics, and increase marine reserves and promote the blue economy. One of our best allies is nature itself. Nature-based solutions could provide one-third of the net reductions in greenhouse gas emissions required to meet the goals of the Paris Agreement. And indigenous knowledge can help point the way. Let us also recognize the central role of women. As humankind devises strategies for preserving the environment and building a green economy, we need more women decision makers at the table. Dear friends, we face an emergency, but I have hope. A history of advances shows what we can do, from rescuing the ozone layer to expanding protected areas. Mindsets are shifting, led by young people. This is the moment of truth. If we return to our old ways of inequality, injustice, and heedless dominion over the earth, we face disaster. Instead, we can and must forge a safer, more sustainable, and equitable path. We have the blueprint, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, and the Paris Agreement on Climate Change. Now we must declare a permanent ceasefire and reconcile with nature. Thank you.